What's going on, NBA Draft Psychos? It's your boy, Corey Tulliba, and welcome to the No Ceilings NBA Show. Today, we're going to do a big board, but this is going to be a big board with a twist. We are going to do a team-specific big board, and we're starting with the Chicago Bulls, the team that had some lottery luck, jumped from number 9 to number 4, and left new basketball executive Bryson Graham with an excellent position to be in, making its way into this elite top four that has been hyped up all year long. Now, they came away with the fourth pick, so ultimately they're probably going to be taking whoever is left over. However, this is still a fantastic position to be in, and we're going to create our big board. Now, the way that we're going to do that, because the Bulls also have pick 15, and then they have to cut a couple of picks in the second round, is we are going to use the Albert Gim created No Ceilings mock site that we have been working on behind the scenes. So with this site, we are able to make team-specific big boards. So I am going to find my Chicago Bulls here, and we are going to build out a team of 10 prospects that the Bulls should focus on. Now, with the first four picks on this board, I am going to focus on the top four. Then with the next, I would say, four picks, I'm going to focus on guys that the Bulls might target at pick 15. And then the last two, I'm going to focus on guys that the Bulls might target in the second round with either of their two picks, if they happen to be there. One is a little earlier. One is at the back end of the draft. Now, Bryson Graham, new basketball executive, mentioned that he loves a specific thing with his prospects, and that's called SLAP. And that acronym means size, length, athleticism, and physicality. So when I am looking at these prospects, those are the qualities that I am going to put onto the board because I want to allow this exercise to be rooted in at least some realism in what the Bulls' options could be and who they might actually target, even if some of the players might not be specifically who I'd be looking at these spots or in a specific order. So let's kick it off. I think based on, you know, not just the SLAP philosophy, but the overall best player available philosophy, for a lot of people, that's going to be AJ Dabanza from BYU, the presumed number one pick on the board. Obviously, I think AJ is a phenomenal player. I got to watch him work out in a private workout in Los Angeles with trainer Zach Gonzalez. And I can't even describe the level of physicality and skill building and mental skill building that Zach is putting AJ through. His shot looks phenomenal. They're focusing on making his base more consistent, getting his arc right. But he was playing 1-on-4. In a lot of these workouts. And now not 1-on-4 in the sense that, you know, it was like a game of 21 and there were just four guys trying to guard him. Real life scenarios where, you know, he had to, you know, avoid gap help and rotations. And he was handling blitzes and making quick decisions out of those, either passing back out or, you know, trying to make a quick shot to avoid the double from coming. So, but it was incredible. I mean, he posterized one of the, defenders in the workout, who's a Division I player in the Big 12. The mid post work, the three looked great. It was a really something truly I felt blessed to be watching in person with the number one pick, full-on intensity the entire time, probably the most intense workout I've seen in person over maybe my entire career. So I think AJ Dabanza would be number one on the Bulls board. Now, at number two, and this prospect may not be the number one prospect on on my personal board, although I've had him there at times during the year. But based on the SLAP philosophy, I think that Caleb Wilson from North Carolina, the 6'10 forward with a 7-foot wingspan and probably the most athletic player in this draft, would be the pick for Bryson Graham if he were available on the board. I think this is like the epitome of size, length, athleticism, and physicality. While Caleb is, you know, a little bit slimmer, he's also like really physical. He's not afraid to shy away from contact. He hits you on screens. He's able to finish through contact. He gets to the free throw line a lot. He rebounds in traffic, right? Like, these are all qualities that I think the Bulls would like. Now, there's a logjam positionally I think at the four based on, you know, the philosophy of the previous management. But at this point, you just have to grab who you think is the best player available. And I think Caleb Wilson would be number two on the Bulls board based on slap and what we know about some of the players that Bryson Graham has, you know, I guess been a part of targeting in his career in New Orleans, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, guys like that. Okay, so at number three, and this is where, you know, we're taking some educated guesses here. I'm going to go with, man, it's tough because Cam Boozer and Darren Peterson are going to be the next two guys off the board. Cam Boozer is number one on my personal board, but I'm going to take Darren Peterson for the Bulls at number three on their board if I was kind of guessing what they were looking at and if I took Caleb at two. Darren had a weird year. We all know it. There was the article that came out about the creatine and understandable why that would be something that could be really scary for someone. You know, having your body cramp up because, you know, of severe dehydration is frightening. And I understand why mentally that could take a toll. Hopefully he's over that. And hopefully he regains that athleticism because when he was right in high school, man, it was really, really special. Really, from a guard prospect, I've never seen anybody move the way he moved on a court. It looked like he was gliding. He was an unbelievable shooter this year, though. That was something that he needed to prove. And I think that, you know, while people were saying that, and myself included, that he might be the best guard prospect since Kobe Bryant at the two guard spot, I think it might really be he's going to be Ray Allen. Like, that could be his comp. Because he was getting shots up at volume, but defensively he was awesome. And for as much as he, you know, the public might think he struggled, he still broke the freshman season BPM record since 2008 for freshman guards. And that is, you know, really special to think that this is a guy who didn't get a chance to play on the ball as much as he'd have liked. He keeps saying he's a point guard. I don't think I agree with that, but definitely a combo of sorts. And definitely a better passer than I think he got to show based on the roster construction, which was a little funky. But this is a kid who's incredibly talented. He was the number one prospect coming into the year on most boards. And I think he'd be third on the Bulls board here. Leaving Cam Boozer, who, you know, is a very contentious prospect for scouts. You know, he was the best prospect or the best player in college basketball this year. He is an absolute advanced stat model destroyer. Advanced stats just absolutely love him. He's an absolute killer there because he's so solid everywhere. I think it's you can make a pretty sound argument that his floor is easily the safest out of any of the prospects. And so to get him at four would be a godsend. I think that he could play a little bit of initiator at the next level. I thought that, you know, he wasn't used in ball screens nearly enough. I think, you know, the fact that you can have him comfortably do that, and you can, you know, you can search for that on my Twitter account if you want to see what that looks like. There's a minutes long clips of him making passes out of ball screens. I hope he slims down, kind of regains a little bit of quickness. And I think the analytical game that Duke plays kind of took away some of his in-between game, which I think he will probably show at the next level. But I think the combination of like size, he's going to be around 6'10 in shoes based on his measurements, 7'1.5 wingspan was really great. He's so strong. The NBA is a physical league. And in a lot of ways, he actually does fit the size, length, athleticism, physicality part outside of he's not like an elite athlete, but he's so efficient with his movements. And that's where a lot of the, I think, athleticism is going to show itself, is just his efficiency and movement. But I love Cam, and I think he's going to be the steadiest guy and will probably be my favorite for rookie of the year, just because he's produced everywhere he's went. He's won almost everywhere he's went, if not for a freak, you know, pass by his brother in a collapse from Duke in the last few minutes. He who knows how far he advances. But yeah, I mean, look, if the Bulls end up with any of these guys, and I'm assuming they're just going to take whoever's left over. Obviously, you know, you have to consider a Michael Brown. You have to consider a Darius Acuff here, maybe a Keaton Wagler. But I think that these are the four guys. This is the right group. And with pick four, these are the four guys that the Bulls should target. Again, this isn't exactly my personal board rankings here, but I think just based on the slap philosophy, it might be who the Bulls might have in that order. Now, there are better players on the board than the guys that I think I'm going to take, or at least higher potential guys who I would have higher on a board. But now I'm shifting my focus to the 15th pick that the Bulls got with a trade that they made with Portland. Portland made the playoffs, so that pick finally conveyed to the Bulls. Now, I'm going to go down my board a little bit here. I'm going to take Jaden Quaintance as the first guy to target in that spot. And look, if he gets a clean bill of health, I don't know if he makes it to this spot. I mean, he dealt with knee injuries, multiple. He came back, he rushed back, and, you know, he after four games, he shut it down. He looked incredible in the St. John's game on his return, and then there were a few games where he didn't look as incredible as he was kind of feeling the knee stuff. But when he was right last year for Arizona State as a 17-year-old freshman who was not old enough to be drafted in last year's class, his defensive ability from protecting the rim and guarding out on the perimeter is really special. He grew this year. He got stronger. He's got a 7'5" inch wingspan. This is the kind of guy, again, size, length, athleticism, physicality. He brings all of that shit to the table. And so I understand the injury concerns, but if he's available here, that's why. And after landing a special player at the top, I think this might be a good spot to try to land a second one if Jaden Quaintance were available. I mean, he's still going to be 18 on draft night, and he completed his second college season. He's a sophomore. That's how young this kid was. But you can't teach his physical tools. He's an outlier in that sense. And so the only reason he'd be available at 15 outside the lottery is because of the injuries. And I think you take him. Likewise, now, I'm going to go with Merez Johnson Jr. from Michigan, coming off a national championship, for a lot of the same reasons that I would take a Jaden Quaintance. You know, I think Merez was phenomenal this year as a sophomore. I liked him during his freshman campaign at Illinois, even though, you know, he wasn't featured prominently and didn't have the role that he had at Michigan. I was intrigued by him at the Nike Hoop Summit, but I think he's developed a ton since I got eyes on him in person back then. But he's physical, he's strong, he crushed the agility stuff. You know, like, he's going to be awesome. He's big and physical. He's long. He's athletic. He does the dirty work. And, you know, he shot it well from the free throw line this year. And shooting is clearly something that he's continuing to work on. So Merez seems like an awesome pick in this range for the Bulls. Now, my next guy that I'm going to take here is going to be Yaxel Lindeberg, his teammate. I think that Yax is, you know, phenomenal basketball player. Like, he's going to be 6'10 in shoes with a nearly 7'4 wingspan, incredibly strong. He improved his jump shot a ton this year. He's a guy who got to the game late. So while, yeah, he's older, this is why you can get him in this range, is just because of the age. But his trajectory has been up, up, up. He dominated college basketball this year. You know, maybe there's some immaturity issues at times and some interviews and stuff, but, like, these are kids. I think he's an awesome basketball player. Again, like, the front court is going to be loaded, especially if you end up taking a Boozer or a Wilson, because you have Modest Buzelis there. You have Noah Senge there. God knows how you get rid of Patrick Williams on this team. But, you know, this is, at this point, you're starting fresh with a blank slate. And, you know, if you could walk away with a pairing of, like, Boozer and Lindeborg or Caleb Wilson and Lindeborg, you're doing backflips, man. So, I think even despite his age, I'm going to take Yax in that spot. Now, the next guy I'm going to take here, and I really like Ade Mara. I think he's going to be gone by then, so I don't think I'm going to include him in this section of the board. I was kind of going back and forth between Swain and Cameron Carr. And I think that Swain kind of fits the SLAP acronym a little bit better holistically than Cam Carr, but I'm going to take Cam Carr on the wing because he has good size at around 6'5" in shoes. He's got incredible length. Like, he's got like a nearly 7'1 wingspan or 7'2 wingspan at that 6'5. So insane length. He's an incredible athlete. He is one of just two players who shot 10 threes per 100 possessions, had 35 dunks, and had a 3.5 block percentage. And the other one was Mikal Bridges. So he's a shooter who can really space the floor with a smooth stroke, just dropped 30 in the combine scrimmage before shutting it down for scrimmage two. And, you know, he has a ton of those qualities outside of the strength because he's very slim. He's like 183 pounds. But when I went to P3 in Santa Barbara, which, you know, is where a lot of the players work out pre-draft, the WME guys, they're like, you know, this sports science facility. They were raving about the athletic ability of Cameron Carr. So I'm going to go with Cam Carr here at number 8 on the team specific board. And we got two guys left. Now for these two guys, I'm going to be focusing on the second round. Okay. So I'm going to scroll down and really be looking for these attributes. Try to find guys that I think are kind of realistic that might be available in this pick. There are going to be guys who drop out of the draft as well after the combine and make a decision to go back. And for the first pick, I would take this guy in the 15 to 20 range. I'm going to add Zubi Ejiofor from St. John's to my bull specific board, targeting him with that second round pick. Zubi rocks, man. He had the third highest BPM in college basketball this year. He is a killer offensive rebounder. I think the defensive rebounding, I think it's probably scheme more than anything else, but he really improved as a passer. Shot the three at 30%, which, you know, as a 6'9 kind of power forward slash small ball center who has a 7'2.5 wingspan, like, I think that's fine. He's not going to be jacking him up, but if you leave him open, I think there's a world where he shoots it a little bit. But defensively, I think he's so incredibly versatile. You know, block percentage over 7, steal percentage over 2. I mean, just an insane mover. I think he is like a disciple of the school of Draymond Green. And if he makes it to the second round, man, I think it's a big mistake. You know, like, I would take him in the 15 to 20 range personally. He's mocked in the second round on a lot of boards. And so he's a guy that I would target there on a team-specific board. The next guy that I'm going to look down the list, you know, to see who might be available, because now we're talking late in the draft. And the options are going to be not nearly as enticing at this part of the draft. We're looking at guys who are going to slip. Malik Brown's interesting. Got a chance to watch him work out and interview him when I was in LA for pre-draft workouts. Really nice guy. Shot looked pretty good in an open gym. We'll see. He could be interesting. You know what? I'm going to take Tyler Nickel. You know, like, this is he measured in at, I think, 6'5 barefoot or 6'5.5. So he's going to be almost 6'7 in shoes. Had a plus wingspan, can really, really shoot it. And if you're looking at, you know, I think it's the 56th pick that the Bulls have, or the 58th pick, I think that this is a pretty good guy to target. He's a real deal shooter. I have a specific shooting query that I use, and, there were three guys who came up on it this year. Last year, that list brought up a guy like John Pulakidas, Kobe Brea, Con Knipple, just finding elite shooters. All three of those guys touched the NBA at some point this year and had, you know, strong games for rookies. Tyler Nickel met that statistical query with his shooting volume, free throw shooting, and his ability to make sound decisions with the ball, which is something I include because you got to get on the floor and teams have to be able to trust that you're not going to just, you know, turn the ball over. Tyler Nickel, with his size, he's a good, strong athlete, can't really handle the ball at all or create, but just as an off-ball guy with strength who could space the floor, at pick 56 for the Bulls, I think this is an interesting pick. So this is my top 10 that I would be looking at here for Chicago if I was creating a board for most of their picks. Now, our site only allows us to build the team-specific board with 10 prospects. And since I'm doing this for four different picks, you know, I tried to keep it 4-4, 1-1. But ultimately, you know, the boards would be a little bit longer for guys at each spot, especially in the second round. Now, let's head back now. And knowing who we took, let's do a little mock draft for the Bulls. So let's go to the team simulator. Let's click on Chicago. Let's bust out a two round and we're going to simulate the draft. And I'm going to make the picks for the Bulls based on who is a. So at pick one, Washington took Cam Boozer. Darren Peterson went to Utah at two. AJ to Memphis at three with the simulator. I think that's probably flip flopped in this scenario. Very interesting order there from the simulation. But Caleb Wilson is on the board. He's the highest remaining guy on our board. He was the second guy on the Chicago Bulls big board that we just created. We're going to draft him. All right, at five, the Clippers landed Darius Acuff Jr. Braden Burries went six to Brooklyn. Yaks went seven to Sacramento. Keaton Wagler, number eight to Atlanta in this case. Ade Mara to Dallas at nine. LeBaron Filon to Milwaukee at 10. Merez off the board to Golden State at 11. Michael Brown Jr. drops in this exercise to Oklahoma City at 12. Of course they do. At number 13, we have Nate Ament going to Miami. Hannes Steinbeck to Charlotte at 14. And here I am. I'm left with Kingston Flemings and Jaden Quaintance. And that is a wild card. And look, it's a simulator. It's not going to be perfect. It's taking in things, you know, positional needs, team fit, stuff like that. It's not going to be perfect. However, the draft is chaotic. And while we look at consensus and this guy should go here, we know every year the draft goes off the rails at some point. So this draft is a little chaotic, and I'm here for it. Now, Jaden Quaintance was the number one guy that we were targeting on our board. However, Kingston Flemings drops out of the lottery in this exercise. The Bulls' guard depth is not awesome. I mean, they have Josh Giddey as the guy who's going to be playing with the ball in his hands quite often. We know that. And he's on a pretty good deal. He's not making a ton of money, so I think he's tradable ultimately, even, you know, depending on if the front office wants to move off of him. So I think that's fine. You know, Rob Dillingham is a reclamation project. Trey Jones is really good, but who knows, you know, if he fits the timeline or if he's a guy that you use to kind of gain an asset. Colin Sexton, again, seems like a trade chip. Same thing with Simons. I'm going to just take Kingston Flemings because he dropped here, and I love Kingston. If you go to the interview we did with him on this channel, he was phenomenal. Like, he's going to crush the interview process. Now, his wingspan, he only measured a 6'3.5" wingspan, which is not awesome, but he demolished the athletic testing, which is no surprise because he was a track athlete in high school as well. I think this is an incredible value here. So I'm going to go ahead and draft Kingston Flemings to go along with Caleb Wilson because he dropped on the board. So interesting turn of events. And that's what I love about the draft. It's just incredibly chaotic. All right. So now we're looking at round two. So after I took Kingston Flemings at 15, Dalen Swain went 16 to Memphis. Bennett Sturts went 17 to Philly. Quaintance went to Charlotte at 18. Kareem Lopez, 19 to Toronto. Cam Carr went 20 to San Antonio. Amari Allen went 21 to Detroit. Koa Pete, 22 to Philly. Tunde Yesefu, 23 to Cleveland. Chris Senick ends up in New York at 24. Isaiah Evans goes to the Lakers at 25 to give Luka some spacing. Malik Thomas went 26 to Denver. Allen Graves and his incredible statistical profile goes 27th to Boston. Billy Richmond, 28 to Minnesota. He was somebody I was hoping that was going to be on the board. Terrace Reed goes to Atlanta at 29. I mean, geez. I mean, 7'4 wingspan, 260 pounds, crushed the agility drills. Like, Terrace is a super interesting prospect. Josh Jefferson, 30 to Dallas. At 31, we have Henry Vissar to New York. Christian Anderson, who shot the net on fire, NBA Jam style, to Memphis at 32. Caravan to Brooklyn at 33, Tyler Tanner, 34 to Sacramento, Ryan Conwell to San Antonio at 35. Another guy that P3 said was a killer in the athletic testing at P3. Abuka Okori, 36 to the Clippers, who I think is going to be a big riser, had a 6'7.5" wingspan. He's going to be almost 6'3" in shoes, so he measured really well at the combine. At 37, we have Luigi Suigo to OKC, which is frightening because I'm a big, big fan of Suigo, and he was a big, big boy. Might be going to college, so if he stays in the draft, just know he's probably got a top 20 promise. He wouldn't be actually, I think, going to in the draft if this was a scenario that could happen. But here we are at 38. Chicago's on the clock. And you know what? My guy Zuby in this simulation is there. I'm running to the podium. And my front court, I get to rebuild with Caleb Wilson and Zuby Ejiofor. Sign me up. And I landed Kingston Flemings here. Like, I am absolutely stoked here. Milan Momcilovic to Houston at 39. Kadir Copeland, who, you know, went from Pitt now, you know, to the big show, and I think is going to get drafted to Boston at 40. Ruben Chinyelu to 41 at Miami. Very, very Miami player. The Spurs taking Braden Smith at 42. Braden Smith, short guard. Kid knows how to play the point guard position, though, and, you know, they got Victor Wembanyama to insulate him. I could see it. 43, Trevon Brazil to Brooklyn. 44, the Spurs take Richie Saunders. 45, the Kings take Jaden Bradley. Malik Brown goes to Orlando at 46. Malachi Marino to 47 in Phoenix. 48, Emmanuel Sharp from Houston. 49, Dylan Mitchell to Denver. At 50, they took Dash Daniels, but he didn't end up entering the draft. So, you know, we'll say they took Jacoby Gillespie there. At 51, Sergio De La Rea to Washington. Tyler Nickel at 52 to the Clippers. So he's off the board for my last pick. He was on our board. 53, we got Otega Owe to Houston. Bruce Thornton goes to Golden State at 54. Keyshawn Hall goes to the Knicks at 55. I am on the clock. All right. And who do we have left? All right. Man, this is a tough one. I'm going down the board. And you know what? I'm going to take Seth Trimble here from North Carolina. Super athletic guard, strong, not the best shooter, though he hit a very big shot, and he has been crushing the team workouts from everything that I heard. The simulator gave that pick a D, but, you know, the rest of my picks were A's or A-pluses. Overall grade, a B. And so, yeah, that's our draft for the Bulls. So we built out our big board of 10 guys. We did a little mock draft exercise to see who could be available where and when. And Chicago Bulls fans, if you walk away with Caleb Wilson, Kingston Fleming, Zuby Ejiofor, and Seth Trimble, any combination of those guys, just be happy, man. That is an awesome, awesome outcome to start the Chicago Bulls rebuild to go along with their young talent in Modest Bouzelis, Noah Senge. Very interesting outcome here. Team-specific big board. Today, we are going to build out a big board and do a little mock draft simulation for the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, you know, are in the midst of a retooling. I don't know if I would call it a full-on rebuild. They move off of Jaren Jackson. Who knows what the future holds for Ja Morant, but we do know that they have two important pieces in Zach Edey and Cedric Howard that I think that they're excited to build around moving forward. So today, we're going to try to figure out what their options could be in the 2026 NBA draft. So we are going to get started by hitting up our trusty team-specific billboard that the No Ceilings own Albert Gim has built. So we're going to go to team big board here. We're going to go up, find the Memphis Grizzlies, and now we are building out a Memphis Grizzlies-specific team billboard. We have, you know, our team stats here on the side. We have, you know, all the players that we have available to us, and we have a blank slate here. Let's get it started. Okay, so first off, the Grizzlies, I think historically, have operated in a way where they value an analytically friendly prospect. And I think that changes the calculus for them at three. Now, they may not have, you know, they're going to get a chance to choose between two out of the top four of AJ DeBonsa, Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer, and Caleb Wilson, assuming that the top four in some order ends up the way people are presuming that it ends up, which are all incredible options. And this is a fantastic position for the Grizzlies to be in. But I think their board, even if they were at one, might look potentially a little bit different than some of the other teams, because again, I do think that they value the analytical profile. And so with that, I am actually going to put Cam Boozer from Duke at number one on the Memphis Grizzlies specific board. He just had, you know, one of the greatest freshman seasons that we've seen historically. He was the best player in college basketball. He was the best player in high school when he was in high school basketball. He's won everywhere he's went. And if his brother didn't, you know, make a careless turnover and Duke didn't melt down there a little bit at the end, who knows how far Duke advances on, honestly, not the most talented team that they've had this year, especially they had guys in and out of the lineup. Boozer was the guy who steadied that ship all the time. Not without flaws, certainly, but in my opinion, a very worthy number one overall pick this year in most years. And I think that he's the kind of guy that Memphis would value. And when you slot him in next to a Zach Edey, the rebounding and offensive influence that those two guys would have on a front court between their offensive boards, Boozer's computer mind and how he's going to be able to initiate both, you know, down low and on the perimeter, the ability to space the floor for Edey down low. I mean, it's a dream, you know, and, you know, luckily I got to see Cedric Howard work out in LA for a little bit. His shot looks unbelievable. It's so smooth. It's so pretty. So I think he's going to continue to grow as a shooter and as a scorer. And that is a lot of size and length in your 3, 4, 5 spots. So that's really exciting to me. And as a young core, I think that Memphis would be exciting. I think he's number one on their board. Now, here's where it gets interesting, right? I think at two, they probably just go with AJ DeBonsa on their board. AJ just had, you know, one of the most unbelievable scoring seasons that we've seen from a freshman prospect. He's going to be 6'10 in shoes with a 7-foot wingspan, unbelievable scoring package. Just had a chance to see him work out in LA during the pre-draft process in a closed workout with trainer Zach Gonzalez. I was literally floored. And look, I love going to these private workouts. I'm impressed most of the time when I go to these workouts, because I'm watching the highest level basketball players play basketball. I was like kind of floored by AJ's performance. And I saw him drop 25 in the second half against Clemson at the Garden this year. And I was floored during this workout because he was playing 1-on-4, like live action, like, you know, realistic scenarios, you know, a guy would dig at the nail. Zach Gonzalez, the trainer would call, you know, fire or blitz, and, you know, he would have to make a quick decision whether to shoot or move off the ball. The shooting reps, the shot looks beautiful right now. You know, not saying he's going to shoot 40% overnight, but we saw what Zach Gonzalez was able to do with Yegor. The arc looks great. His base looks great. And he's so competitive, so athletic. His handle was so tight. He was slithering in between defenders. And at a certain point, regardless of the defense, I think you just take him because of what he could do as an offensive engine. He had really nice moments as a playmaker this year. So that combination doesn't come along. And I think he's competitive on the ball defensively. And I think that at the next level, if he sits and, you know, if he really puts time and focuses on becoming a better help defender, like that's, you could teach that. So AJ's is incredible. And I think he goes too. Now at three, where they might end up, you know, this gets interesting. Obviously, we know how talented Darren Peterson is. I think they probably go Darren here, regardless of the year he had and, you know, the effects of his creatine cramps on his mental, on his body. Assuming that is all behind him and that stuff that maybe they're going to have to find out in the interview process and whatnot. Assuming that that's all behind them, Darren is just one of the, you know, the purest scorers that we've seen. He proved that he can really space the floor. He hit the volume on his 3-point shot, I think, blew out of the water most people's projections, because
coming into the year. He was known more as like, you know, a shooter who got to in the mid range. And yes, he could shoot threes, but it wasn't at the volume we wanted. He was a really good free throw shooter. You know, the playmaking wasn't exactly what you wanted. However, he was literally getting blitzed every time he touched the ball. He was getting 2 cents of the ball, like on ball screens, just to get the ball out of his hands. And who was going to make them pay on that Kansas roster? They really didn't have anybody. Their best shooter was Darren. So understandably, from a schematic perspective, that made a lot of sense for these other teams. I just think at this point, like, I think the playmaking will be there. He says he's a point guard. I don't think so. But, you know, you play him next to Ja and you have time to make a decision on him. You put Darren at the two. And that's a really dynamic backcourt to go along with Cedric Howard and Zach Edey if this, you know, ultimately that's where they ended up. And then at four, I think Caleb Wilson, maybe a little bit of crossover, you know, with the Jaren Jackson experience, just on a cheaper contract. Not quite the shot blocker. But much more willing to go get busy and be physical down low. You know, we'll see. I think the shot's a work in progress. I think he'll get there as an adequate four floor spacer. I don't think he'll ever be, you know, Steph Curry at any point, but yeah, I think that his ability to shoot in the mid range and create in the mid range with just what the form looks like, I think he gets there even if it's on somewhat low volume. But the rebounding, the ability to just gobble up boards near the rim on offense between Edey and Caleb Wilson would be unbelievable. Him running the floor with Ja would be insane. I mean, again, this would be a fantastic outcome for Memphis if this is the direction that they had went, but I think he's fourth on their board. We'll see. Now, I'm going to pivot here to their 16th pick. And I'm not going to, you know, look at a Mykael Brown or a Darius Acuff, Kingston Flemings, guys like that, because I don't think they're going to be available at the 16th pick. So I'm going to look for guys who, again, are a little bit analytically friendly, guys who I think that the Memphis front office ultimately would value. And there's a lot of good value left on the board here for Memphis. So the first guy who I think that they might value in this scenario, I think it's going to be Yaxel Lendeborg. Now, he might be gone at this point, to be completely honest. By 16, he might be gone. He might go at the back end of the lottery. But there's always a chance because he is going to be 24 in his rookie year. And dudes that are old typically just don't go as early as you otherwise might think. Sometimes it happens, right? You know, you see Cam Johnson, guys like that. But it's an outlier. It doesn't happen every year. But 6'10 in shoes, 7'3.5 wingspan, strong, bulky, you know, pretty athletic dude, really improved as a shooter this year. The ultimate connector. And again, Zach Edey's a guy that when he's healthy, looks dominant on the floor. Now you're adding Yaxel Lendeborg, two of the most, you know, productive college players that we've seen together with, you know, fantastic size. And that is a really, really, really intriguing front court there between those two guys. So I'm going to go Yaks with that first pick. Then I'm going to go Jaden Quaintance. And there is a chance that Quaintance is here. Now, if he's healthy and the medicals come back clear, it's a really small chance because Jaden Quaintance, you know, 18 years old on draft night, finished his second college season. He was too young to get drafted last year out of Arizona State, which is why he went to Kentucky. But he only played 4 games, looked like a beast against Zubi Ejiofor and St. John's. And ultimately, you know, he had knee issues and, you know, he kind of had to shut it down after he didn't look nearly as good in the next 3 games. But 6'10, 6'11, 5.5 inch wingspan, I believe it was, with his power and athleticism, some of the tools he's flashed offensively. I don't know if he ever gets there as an offensive player, but he certainly can, you know, flash some nifty passing. And, you know, he shot threes at Arizona State and, you know, the free throw shooting's a disaster. But, you know, again, the size and length between that front court with Edey and Quaintance, and then if you add one of those top 4 guys to that, like, you're looking at some real deal freak potential. Next guy on the list here, let's go down the list a little bit here, see who else. I'm only going to pick 4 guys for this spot because I want to leave 2 guys for that 10th, for the second round pick, and we got 10 spots here on the big board creator. I'm going to go with Cameron Carr from Baylor, lit up the NBA combine, dropped 30 in the scrimmage, then shut it down, had a 7'1 wingspan. And I think he was 6'3.5 in barefoot. So he's going to be about 6'5 in shoes. But the 6'3.5 to a 7'1 wingspan, like outrageous differential there. One of two guys who had like a block percentage over 3.5, shot 10 threes per 100 possessions, and had 35 dunks. The other guy was Mikal Bridges. So you can see that kind of role, maybe a Devin Vassell. He definitely has to get stronger. He's like 184 right now. And, you know, he's a junior age player. But as a guy that you pair next to Coward, that is a ton of length, man. And a lot of shooting. So he would be an awesome piece here. I think, you know, if he was the guy who was available for them at 16, if those other guys were off the board. And then lastly, I'm going to go with Bennett Sturts. Again, I'm looking at, you know, an analytically friendly player who I think is a baller, one of the best shooters in this class. You know, went from JUCO to Drake, from Drake to Iowa, led his team deep into the tournament. I mean, numbers didn't even tail off really. You know, I love Bennett Sturts. He's a cerebral player, rarely makes mistakes. He basically plays the entire game. His conditioning is outrageous. You know, he's a guy that is more athletic than you think. It's always been a guy who, you know, was able to show off a little bit of balance and play above the rim. And he creates a ton of offense for himself. So again, I think at pick 16, if a team was going to take Bennett Sturts in this range, I think Memphis would be one of the candidates to do it. So those are the four guys, I think, on this board who I'd be targeting at 16. That's Yaxel Lendeborg, Jaden Quaintance, Cameron Carr, Bennett Sturts. Next, let's talk about some second-round guys. Memphis has pick 32, so almost an extra first-rounder, right? So a lot of flexibility here, and I think these two guys could be on the board if they stay in the draft. Right now, we haven't heard who's staying, who's going in finality. But again, I'm going with the analytical profile. I'm going with guys that I think they would be intrigued with, guys that they would understandably believe that they found value in. The first guy I'm going to go with, because I think he's got a little bit more size, is Allen Graves from Santa Clara. He's kind of like, you know, discount Boozer in a lot of ways. Had an outrageous like 5 steal, 5 block percentage this year, which is crazy. Really shot it well this year, especially as the year went on. Super efficient, quick decision maker, two-way player, good size, you know, 7-foot wingspan. I think that, you know, some teams might be skeptical just because he can't really self-create yet. And, you know, if he's not self-creating, then he might be tied into a role player range. But if you're getting him at 32 in the second round, I mean, that's outrageous. And there's a chance that he stays in the draft. You know, I know that Will Wade's trying to, and Duke are trying to throw him some bags, Duke and LSU, but he's married and I've heard, you know, he wants to be a pro. So there's a chance he just stays in and a team says, hey, even if you make it to 32 and you're a second rounder, we're going to give you a guaranteed deal. And he gets a promise and that allows him to stay in because he knows that he has a floor. So I think that Allen Graves, there's a chance that he's here. And if he is, I think Memphis runs to the podium. And then the second guy, another kind of contentious player this year between Spreadsheet FC and the film watchers. I'm a fan of both, watching film and breaking down the stats. Tyler Tanner from Vanderbilt. I actually flew to Nashville to see Tyler Tanner play Nate Ament in a Vanderbilt home game. Now, Tyler Tanner is sub 5'11 barefoot and sub 167 pounds barefoot. So right off the bat, you go, so what do I like? And what you like is he's got a 6'4 wingspan. He had, I think, like 13 or 14 dunks at that height, at that size, including a pretty awesome poster in the beginning of the year. He really improved his shooting this year. He's a good playmaker. I don't think he's a great playmaker. I don't even know if he's a really good playmaker, and that's why I think he probably should go back to school given his height and how much money is going to be waiting for him there, and there's a chance that he kind of fizzles out, and he might only get one chance in the league if he leaves too early and doesn't develop some of the other parts of his game. I think he's really good at getting into the paint, using his blow-by speed, his first step, to make some pretty nifty drive-in kicks. But I think he has a hard time kind of manipulating and orchestrating ball screens in like a real point guard-y way. And I think he's going to have to learn how to do that and kind of utilize his pull-up shooting and get that up at volume more. So I think he might go back. Didn't particularly like crush it in the two combine scrimmages, but based on his quotes, he seems like he really wants to be a pro and go to the NBA. So there's a real chance that he does. And I think at 32, Memphis goes, his statistical profile was phenomenal. And at 32, the risk is really mitigated. You know, I mean, there have been some pretty outrageous rankings of Tyler Tanner. You know, there have been a lot of analytically focused people who have had him in their top five. And, you know, I can't get there, but, you know, their process is their process and they're true to it. So maybe we look back and it rings true. But Tyler Tanner here. So here's our 10 guys on our board. First four picks at pick three, the first four guys we're targeting: Cam Boozer at number one on the Memphis board, AJ DeBonta at number two on the Memphis board, Darren Peterson at three on the Memphis board, Caleb Wilson at four on the Memphis board. Now, of course, I am just theorizing all of this. Then at pick 16, Yaxel Lendeborg from Michigan, at five overall on their board. Jaden Quaintance from Kentucky at six overall on their board. Cameron Carr from Baylor at seven overall on their board. And Bennett Sturts from Iowa at eight overall on their board. And then Alan Graves at nine overall on their board. Tyler Tanner at 10 overall on their board for those for that second round pick at pick 30. Two. So that is what we kind of are rolling with here for the Memphis big board. Now, before we get out of here, I want to run through a little simulation to see how that draft could theoretically play out for Memphis. So let's head back. Let's get down to our mock draft simulator. We're going to do a full two-round mock for the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay, so let's simulate it. Let's see, do I need to go back here? All right, mock draft simulator. Ah, team simulator. Memphis, two rounds, simulate and start. Okay, we're on the clock. Cameron Boozer went first to Washington. He was number one on our board. Darren Peterson went two to Utah. And that means that we are going to draft AJ DeBonta at three. He was number two on our board here. Caleb Wilson went four. We'll see who we have left on our board here. All right, we're on the clock. Darius Acuff went fifth. LeBaron Filon, ooh, twist, he went six. Yaks went seventh. He was who we were targeting at our next pick. Mykael Brown went eight. Ade Mara goes nine. Braden Burries goes 10. Merez Johnson at 11. Kingston Fleming's at 12. Wagler slips a little to 13. Hannes Steinbach goes 14. Nate Amon at 15. Now we are back on the clock at 16. And our guy, Jaden Quaintance, is available. So we're going to take him. So we got AJ DeBonta with the third pick, Jaden Quaintance with pick 16. Let's see who's going to be available for us when we are back on the clock for our second round pick. See if either of Graves or Tanner are there. Sturts went 17th right after us. Kareem Lopez goes 18th. Swain goes 19th. Cam Carr goes 20th. Amari Allen 21st. Koa Pete 22. Tunde Yusefu 23rd, Chris Senek at 24, Isaiah Evans at 25, Malik Thomas goes 26, Alan Graves goes to Boston at 27, so he's off the board. Billy Richmond goes 28 to Minnesota, Terrace Reed goes 29 to Atlanta, and Josh Jefferson, another very analytically friendly prospect who could have been a selection for the Grizz for sure, goes 30th to Dallas. And then Luigi Suigo, one of my personal favorites, who I would take in the top 20, as he says, which will entice him to stay in the draft, goes 31 to New York. Okay, I am taking the guy who is going to be first on our board here, Tyler Tanner at 32 to Memphis. But I will say, you know, the two best available guys on the board based on the No Ceilings latest or last big board update, Ibaka, Okorie, and Christian Anderson. I think Okorie is going to be a sleeper. Measured at 6'1 and a half inches barefoot. So going to be about 6'3 in shoes. Had a 6'7 and a half inch wingspan. Was one of the best self-creating scorers in college basketball. Averaged 23 points per game. Personally, on my personal board, I have Okorie higher than Tyler Tanner. But, and Zubi Ejiofor is another guy I've personally higher than Tyler Tanner. But I think that, you know, if we're going by the board that we created and looking at like a statistical profile, and again, you can make an argument for Zubi and Ibaka Okorie, because both of those guys had really intriguing statistical profiles. But based on the board that we created earlier, we're going to go with Tyler Tanner here at pick 32. And we're going to end up with AJ DeBonsa, Jaden Quaintance, and Tyler Tanner. AJ DeBonsa at 3, Jaden Quaintance at 16, and Tyler Tanner at 32 as the rest of this draft plays out. And I think that that's a pretty intriguing draft. I mean, all three of our draft picks were graded as an A. Overall, it was a B+. Okay. But AJ DeBonsa, that's the headline pick, right? This is the kind of pick that changes the course of your franchise. 6'10", you know, guy who just dropped 25 points per game as a freshman in college and has so much room to grow. Jaden Quaintance is a more of a dart that you're chucking at the board. On talent alone, he's arguably, you know, a top 5 or 6 guy in this class. The knee injuries muddy it up. That's why he'd be available at 16. But that's a home run at 16. That's great value. Sometimes you got to swing. You might strike out, you might hit a homer. And that's what Jaden Quaintance could be based on the upside and the injury. And then at 32, Tyler Tanner, you know, we'll see what happens with him in this draft. He's an intriguing prospect. I think he has some room to grow still. Kind of want to see him go back to school and hone in on, you know, other parts of his game, but he's still in the draft. He's still on the board, and he goes 32 here to the Memphis Grizzlies. So we are going to keep doing these team big boards and mocks as we continue on through the rest of this draft cycle, y'all. Thank you for watching. Thank you for rocking with me. I appreciate y'all. Make sure that you like, subscribe to @NoCeilingsNBA on socials, the No Ceilings NBA podcast, the Locked On NBA podcast. Make sure that you go to NoCeilingsNBA.com. Subscribe there for incredible draft content all year long, baby. Thanks for watching, guys. I'm out.